Our next guest, very special guest, longtime legendary sports announcer. I remember when I first started, when I was producing John Short's show, these two legends used to go on each other's show all the time. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, sports anchor at XETV in San Diego. You can check him out at leehacksawhamilton.com or Hacksaw1090 on Twitter. Lee, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Great to talk to you again, Jason. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit better than the Edmonton Oilers. Feel real bad for you. Understand this, I'm a hockey freak. I feel real bad for you about what happened to Connor McDavid. Obviously better days are coming for the Oil, that's for certain.
Well, you hope so, for sure. Oilers fans have been patiently waiting for a decade. And sadly, yeah, it was probably like the worst tease you could ever have if you're an Oilers fan. You get to see McDavid, you see how great he is, and then it's taken away for 3 months until he recovers from the broken collarbone.
Yeah, I remember telling one of the Oilers vice presidents a couple of years ago, I said, you guys are going to wake up one morning and you're going to have a really good franchise. They're not there yet, and obviously they've had this bad luck, like they've had some other injury bad luck with the other high draft picks, but I still believe this thing is going to turn. It's going to turn probably sooner than later, and then, you know, I don't know if it'll be the glory days of Gretzky and Messier and Lowe and Grant Fuhr and all that, but I think it's going to be pretty good pretty quick.
Lots to talk about on the NFL front as we get to our NFL report brought to you by Pro-Am Sports. Get great products at proamsports.ca. I want to start with we saw it to Dez Bryant and that kind of dysfunction in the roster, in the locker room. Start with the Cowboys. What do you make of that, and how big of an issue is this going to be?
I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, but it was pretty nasty. I saw the unedited version. It was really bad. I think in the bigger picture, awful lot of dysfunction. There's not a lot of respect from the players towards, I think, the ownership of the team, and from the players towards the working media. I've never seen such volatility from a collective group of players that then goes undisciplined by Jason Garrett or is sanctioned by Jerry Jones. That's the thing that is really stunning to me. You know, we've had a couple of Greg Hardy meltdowns. Now we got the Dez Bryant situation, and that's a never-ending soap opera as to when's the next time he's going to go off on somebody. And yet, you know, Jason Garrett doesn't discipline anybody. Jerry Jones just seems to accept it as a way of life because he's in love with his players. I just don't think it's a real good sign about the stability, but rather the instability of that organization. They're having a tough time. They've lost six in a row. And, of course, when you lose Tony Romo, and they've had a series of other injuries. But yeah, I just don't think as an organization, from a credibility standpoint, you can tolerate that type of volatility from your own players towards other people.
Speaking of volatility, and it's obviously not on a personal standpoint yet in San Diego, but the Chargers franchise, you've seen it up close and personal for many decades. Are they moving? How much disarray is going on in San Diego with the Chargers right now?
Well, there's a lot of bitterness here. You know, I was a longtime voice of the Chargers, and we went through good seasons and bad seasons, but I have never seen the dislike right now that's being directed towards ownership for the way they've handled their business. They're trying to get a new stadium built. They've struggled for the better part of a decade with a community that was near bankruptcy. And they've turned on the community, and now they have a new mayor. The mayor and the city and the county have come up with a financing program. And this is the first time in about 14 years they've been able to get something done here. And now the owner refuses to come to the negotiating table and has conducted a scorched earth policy. Every time the mayor tries to do something positive to move this needle, go to the next step forward, the owner of the team, Dean Spanos, and his right-hand mouthpiece, Mark Fabiani, drop a hand grenade down the chute at what the mayor is trying to do. They have destroyed their relationship. The owner wants to go to Los Angeles because there's a lot more money here. The mayor is fighting desperately to keep this franchise. The NFL has yet to intercede. It's just really nasty. And then to complicate it, the team has fallen apart. They're 2-7, just an absolute horrific run of injuries. The last man standing on the team is the quarterback, Philip Rivers. He's taken a horrific beating this season. It's as ugly an environment as I've ever seen. And I've been here a long time doing sports talk radio, TV, and obviously as the voice of the Chargers. I just don't know. If Spanos doesn't get to L.A., if the league doesn't approve him and instead allows the Rams to go to L.A., I don't know how Spanos comes back to this town and what kind of reception he thinks he's going to get after all the things he and his right-hand man have done.
Lee Hamilton joins us. Lee, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Chargers, it seems they're all kind of battling to get into that L.A. market. Who do you see as the front runner of the three?
Well, I got to believe it's going to be Stan Kroenke and the Rams. Now, he has mistreated St. Louis because they have the funding, they have the package together to build a new stadium on the banks of the Mississippi, and he's refused to go to the negotiating table. But he is just completely not communicated with anybody, whereas Spanos in San Diego is dropping bombs on everything that the mayor has tried to do here. In Oakland, they don't have the resources. That is a city that is in financial trouble. They're really behind the power curve. Oakland and San Diego are trying to link up to move to L.A. in one stadium. Stan Kroenke and the Rams have the land, they have the money, and he owns the team. I think if the league wants to go to L.A., my gut feel is we sit here in November, I got to believe that the NFL will allow Kroenke to be the first one to move, and then they're going to charge him $500 million in territorial money. They're going to take that money, and they're going to split it with Oakland and San Diego as an additional stipend to help them finance their stadiums to keep those teams in the respective cities. Then, the other part of the equation, I think this is down road. It's not going to happen immediately. They're not going to announce it immediately. I think there's going to be NFL expansion. They do want a second team in L.A., kind of like the Jets and Giants share the Meadowlands. They want a second team in the new stadium in L.A. I think they're going to grant an expansion team to L.A. and an expansion team to St. Louis, put it in place when that new stadium is built. And there is precedent, because when the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee, they promised Houston, you build this new stadium, we'll get your franchise. That became the Texans. When the Browns vacated, went to Baltimore, Art Modell's move, they promised Cleveland, you build a stadium, we'll drop an expansion team in there. I think down road by 2020, I think we'll see a second team in L.A. and an expansion team in St. Louis as a way to solve it. But to get from this point to that point, just very, very complicated.
Another interesting angle that we've been watching closely right now is the feud on ESPN and ABC about the ads on Monday Night Football. You know, TV's obviously huge for the NFL. They barely need people in the stands. They make so much money because of their TV contracts. Why is this such an issue? How did this start?
Well, here's the story. I don't think it's leaked out completely yet. As you know, the NFL's been involved in this horrific concussion lawsuit. There is a movie-documentary that's about to be released in the next 2 weeks called Concussion. It stars Will Smith.
Yeah.
It is really a strong documentary about the history of the NFL dealing with player injuries. Now, you can say it's got Hollywood in it, it's got theatrical creative journalism in it, etc., but there is probably a sense there. But the critics who've seen the preview have written that the NFL takes a bullet right between the eyes with the way it's portrayed in this movie, and the movie portrays their information they gathered in writing the script about how the NFL has acted or not acted with concussion. So fast forward that to where we are now. ESPN has the rights to Monday Night Football and a long relationship with the National Football League, the draft and all that. ESPN and ABC have sold advertising in Monday Night Football to promote the movie Concussion. You'll probably see the ads in the next couple of weeks. The NFL is balking, they're squawking, they're screaming behind closed doors.
Yep.
And ESPN is not going to back away from this. Evidently, those ads are going to run, even though it makes the NFL look really bad. And that's the basis of what's starting to roll out now.
Well, the NFL, I know they love to control everything, but they can't control everything, and nor should they.
Well, you got the history of the lawsuits.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL, you know, agreed to pay $935 million to all the players who have suffered trauma, head injuries, dementia, Alzheimer's, and the families of players who committed suicide, including our superstar, Junior Seau. But as part of the decision to pay that money out, there's also a clause in there that the NFL accepts no responsibility for doing anything wrong. Well, please, you know, I'm not stupid. I didn't fall off the turnip truck. You didn't either. I mean, at the end of the day, there's linkage. And this thing never got to trial because the NFL agreed to settle before it got to trial. In my heart, Jason, I firmly believe that there were doctors who work for NFL clubs who have found their conscience. I think there's a paper trail, smoking gun, whatever phrase you want to use, that was out there that would have said, team doctors and teams knew the potential damage of concussions, did nothing about it. That's why this was about to go to trial, and suddenly $935 million showed up on the table. So the worst part of this whole equation is that not one penny yet, this is 2 years since they reached the settlement, not one penny yet has gone to a player because it's still tied up in courts with appeals. It's pretty bad.
A few interesting games on the docket, of course. You know, the Giants and the Patriots, who haven't met in the Meadowlands in the regular season since 2011. Of course, they've got the Super Bowl history. The Patriots are undefeated. The Giants are leading their division, albeit at 5-4. This Patriots team, like every year, people wait for the Patriots. And trust me, I'm a Dolphins fan, so I can't stand the Patriots. But I respect them as an organization. They know how to win. And we always wait for them to take a step back, and they just never do.
It's interesting. I mean, Brady is, quote, the last man standing. All the great players of past Patriot eras are gone, the Vince Wilfolks of the world and the running backs and all that. But, boy, they have grown as a team. When this thing started on Labor Day weekend, they had Brady and they had Gronkowski, and they had a lot of question marks. Question marks at wide receiver with injuries, question marks on the defense. Well, they have collectively really come together. Going into this game against the Giants, the Border War game, Brady's got 22 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That's pretty, pretty impressive. And all the wide receivers are playing really well within the system. And you look across the line of scrimmage, you can't really identify who these guys are. But, boy, they have hit the jackpot on a whole bunch of young athletes who play defense, who can run, led by Jamie Collins. So it's a very good team. I unless something significant happens on the injury front, and they've hardly had any injuries this year in New England, which is a stroke of luck compared to some of the other places that we've been. They could be 16-0. Here's an interesting stat, though. Did you know this? Eli Manning is 3-1 against Tom Brady. Think about that. The Giants have not won a ton of games over the last group of years, but Eli is 3-1 against that guy.
Yeah, he finds ways to beat them, and obviously everybody remembers in Super Bowl. What other team? What do you make of the Cincinnati Bengals, Lee? You've seen the NFL now for, well, I think, over 3 decades, maybe, I think it is. The Bengals, they look legit to me. What do they do to you?
They've really grown into it. Andy Dalton has always been a vibrant young quarterback, but young quarterbacks make mistakes. He's not making mistakes this year. Now, that being said, he still has to win a game in postseason because he is 0-4 in his career. They've been 1-done 4 straight years. But, boy, you look at that lineup. If you were to go to a depth chart, pop it up on your computer screen, you'd be awed at the skill people they have, what they've built in the offensive line, who they are, especially in the defensive front seven. And they've had virtually no injuries this season. So luck kind of plays into how good is your football team. But Dalton has really grown into a responsible quarterback. Now, I don't know that they're going to run the table and finish the season unbeaten. There might be a bump in the road yet. That's a pretty good football team because that quarterback has stopped making critical mistakes at game time. You know, the other big game on the schedule is Arizona Seattle.
Yeah.
That's going to be a doozy because Carson Palmer, coming off the second knee surgery, he's rolling. He's got 20 touchdowns already. They got a lot of firepower on that offense, not just Larry Fitzgerald, but they're deep at wide receiver. Chris Johnson, the ex-Tennessee Titans, having an unbelievable comeback season. Seahawks, they got Russell Wilson, although Marshawn Lynch is not what Marshawn Lynch used to be. And Russell Wilson's taken a lot of quarterback sacks this year. But that's going to be a really great NFC West game. And I would not be stunned to see Arizona go in there, steal it, get on the plane, and come home.
Well, and you know, that was going to be my last one about them, because Seattle wins that game and suddenly they're only a game back in that very tight division. You can't count out the Rams either, I don't think. You know, in St. Louis, a team that probably should beat Chicago, and so they're going to be 5-4, you would think, by the end of the week. And if Seattle wins, all of a sudden you got 3 teams within a game with 7 to go. That could be one of the best races down the stretch.
Yeah, but Seattle, they're just not the same franchise. Marshawn Lynch is not Marshawn Lynch anymore. Sometimes when you got a heavy-duty running back, they wake up one morning and they're old men. He's not the same running back that he was the prior 3 years. Of course, the offensive line has been stripped bare. They're not the same front as they've had in the past. That's where Wilson's taking sacks. Defensively up front, not quite what they were, although the back seven led by Bobby Wagner and Cam Chancellor and the Legion of Boom, that group is starting to get healthy, so the back seven defensively is carrying Seattle. But we've got a lot of football to be played. I still think Arizona, Seattle, the winner of this, is probably going to win the division.
Lee, always great to talk NFL with you, and some hockey, of course. Oiler fans hoping you're correct, that good things are in the future, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna throw something on the table you'll find stunning, and I know it didn't end very well for him in Edmonton, but Dallas Eakins is the new head coach of the American Hockey League team here in San Diego. His team is 9-2. He has done an amazing job with what, quote, was an expansion team in the American Hockey League, and I know it was real tough sledding for him up there, but we've been really impressed with him as a person and obviously with his creative ability. He's got a lot of good young firepower players in this American Hockey League team here, so I'll just throw that out in your direction, too.
Well, that won't make Oilers fans happy at all, but Lee, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a great NFL weekend. Talk to you again.